A Wicked Rich Man.
Dead.
Yes, I heard it. This is a national calamity.
I can scarcely believe it.
A great and good prophet, an eminent judge of Israel, has fallen.
Yes, and a teacher, too. He was the founder and president of our sacred schools, the schools of the prophets.
Oh, we, the people of Israel, made a terrible mistake when we rejected Samuel as our leader and asked for a king to rule over us.
He was truly a man of God, a man who bore the troubles of his people on his heart.
And a man who interceded with God in our behalf.
And all Israel assembled and mourned for Samuel.
Samuel, Samuel.
And they buried him at Ramah. Bitter were the thoughts of the people as they looked upon his quiet resting place. It was Samuel who had taught them to love and obey God. Now that he was dead, they felt that they were left to the mercies of a king who was joined to Satan and who would divorce the people from the God of heaven. David could not be present at the burial of Samuel. Nevertheless, he mourned for him as deeply and tenderly as a faithful son could mourn for a devoted father. He knew that Samuel's death had broken another bond of restraint from the actions of Saul, and he now felt less secure than when the prophet lived. Thus, while the attention of Saul was engaged in official mourning for the prophet's death, David took the opportunity to seek a place of greater security.
Joab, have the men break camp at once and prepare to march.
Now, where are we going, David?
I've been thinking it over, and I'm of the opinion we should go south.
Egypt?
Not that far south.
Well, where then?
King Saul is determined to take my life. I believe the place of greatest security for the present would be the wilderness of Paran.
Oh, that's very desolate country. Nothing at all there except perhaps scattered areas of grazing land for sheep herding.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 600 of us, you know.
Yes, yes, I know, Joab. But I believe that somehow we'll get along. God will provide for us if we trust him.
So David and his men went to the wilderness of Paran.
We'll stay here for a few days until we can locate a better camping site.
Do you think it'll be necessary to set up the usual system of sentinels and guards?
Yes, at least for the present. Perhaps it would be a good idea to send out scouts, locate a water supply, and perhaps a better campsite.
Yes, sir. May I bother you, sir?
Oh, of course, Joab. Have the scouts returned?
Yes. They found that about all the land is good for is sheep and goat grazing. However, they did discover a better location for our camp. Ample water supply, some shade, and easy to defend if necessary.
Oh, good.
But the food is going to be a real problem. When the provisions that we brought with us run out, I don't know what we'll eat.
Berries, wildfowl, dates, figs, venison, wild honey. There must be some food of that nature.
Well, some, of course, but not very much.
Well, we'll just have to manage the best we can and trust in God.
David, sir.
Yes, Joab, what is it?
One of the men just brought a lamb into camp.
A lamb? Where did he get it?
Well, he found it deserted in the ravine north of the camp.
Well, it must be a stray from one of the nearby herds. Have him return it.
Sir, the men feel, since the lamb has been deserted and would have died had not one of us found it, that we could add it to our meager rations?
I suppose they're more or less right. Technically, we could claim it. But since we know it's a stray, I feel we must return it. Perhaps you'd better do it yourself.
Yes, sir.
You say one of your men found this lamb in the ravine?
Yes, and we thought perhaps it had strayed from your herd.
You're correct, it did. Three of them left together this morning. I managed to find the other two, but this little scoundrel I had given up on. Oh, I certainly appreciate your returning it. My master, Nabal, takes the loss of a sheep or lamb from his herd as a very serious offense on the part of his sheep herders.
Oh, this herd belongs to Nabal, the Calebite?
Yes, this herd and almost every other herd of sheep or goats around here. He has over 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats.
You'd think he could afford to lose a few now and then.
I should be thankful, though. So far, my flock has not been attacked by the Amalekite raiders.
Oh, do the Amalekites come this far north?
Oh, yes. Well, not very often, but when they do, it's terrible. Several of the shepherds have pleaded with Master Nabal to provide us with a small army for protection from the raiders, but he says that there's no one available.
Oh.
It seems to me that in the long run, it would be cheaper for Master Nabal to support a whole army than to keep losing his sheep all the time. But I guess that's his business.
I see. Well, I must get back to camp. It's been interesting talking with you. Goodbye.
Goodbye, and thanks again. So David and his men are hiding here in the wilderness. I certainly won't complain when they treat me like this. Imagine returning a stray lamb like that. Why, they didn't even know for sure whose it was.
Ah, was your mission successful, Joab?
Yes, I think so. The lamb had strayed from a flock which belongs to Nabal, the Calebite.
Nabal, the Calebite? He's a very wealthy man, isn't he?
Quite. He owns 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats.
Oh.
And what's more, his shepherds are in need of protection.
Protection?
From the Amalekites. It seems that they periodically make raids on the flocks and herds, and Nabal doesn't have anyone to protect them.
Now, the Amalekites are a wicked, crafty, cruel band, Joab. It would be a very difficult task to try and protect shepherds from their raids. But on the other hand, since we're here, I suppose we might as well be doing something. What do the rest of you men think? All right. All right, we'll do what we can to protect the shepherds. Now, the Amalekites are very clever, so we must also be very clever. We will station a scout or a sentry on top each hill, then set up a system of signals which will be relayed from one to the other so that all will...
We should see the Amalekites coming over that hill any minute now.
I hope they carry out their raid in their usual manner. If they do, they'll play right into our trap.
Oh, I'm sure they will. And I'll bet that shepherd will be surprised. First to be attacked by the Amalekites, and then to see another army appear from out of nowhere and stage a counterattack.
Well, I hope he's able to comprehend quickly what's going on.
I think he will. Huh? Hey, watch out.
What?
Here they come.
Now, let them come in closer before you give the signal for the counterattack. All right, now! Already they're gathering their forces for a retreat. It'll be up to our group by that large rock to try and cut them off. Meanwhile, you'd better take some of our men and try and round up the sheep before they become widely scattered.
'79, '80, '81. Why, it's amazing. Not a single lamb or sheep escaped. How can I ever thank you enough?
Oh, it was worth it just to see the look of surprise in the face of that Amalekite leader. I doubt he'll attempt another raid around here for a while.
Well, they certainly surprised me. Frightened me, too. I saw them coming, and I was as good as dead. Then when your men appeared and started fighting the Amalekites, I thought I must be dreaming. I just don't know what to say or do to show my gratitude.
Well, we're thankful we could be of service to you and your master.
I know Master Nabal will be thankful. If it hadn't been for you, he'd be 81 sheep and one shepherd poor right now. And you can be sure that I'll tell him what you and your men did for him.
David, sir.
What? Oh, it's you, Joab. Here, sit down.
Thank you. They told me you were up here alone. I wanted to talk to you.
You're concerned about the food situation, aren't you?
Well, don't I have good reason to be?
Well, perhaps.
Let's face it. The men haven't had a square meal for months. The provisions that we brought with us are all gone, and there just isn't enough wildlife here in the wilderness to support us. The morale in the camp is getting very low.
You're quite right, Joab. But I'm sure things will improve in just a few more days.
Well, how?
Well, already Nabal's shepherds have started taking his flocks and herds up to Carmel to be sheared. It'll be a time of hospitality, and Nabal will be well pleased when he learns of the service we've been performing for him these several months. We'll send messengers to him with a request for supplies.
Say, that is a great idea. And I'm sure it'll boost morale considerably just to know that there's some decent food on the way. Have you decided who you'll send yet? I'd like to be one of them. And I think that...
You are all aware that our food supply has been depleted. You're also aware that for some time now, ever since we came here to the wilderness, that we've been helping and protecting the shepherds of Nabal the Calebite. At the present time, all his shepherds have taken their sheep up to Carmel to be sheared. Therefore, we have selected a group of 10 men headed by Joab to go to Nabal and ask that he provide us with provisions. Now, Joab, when you approach Nabal, greet him in my name and say to him, peace be to you and peace be to your house and peace be to all that you have.
Judah, come here and make an accounting of your flock.
Yes, sir, Master Nabal.
How many sheep have you lost this season?
None, sir.
Well, now, that's the kind of report I like to hear. You know, son, this has been the best year I've ever had. You shepherds are improving.
The credit really should go to David, sir.
David?
The next king of Israel.
Oh, him. What's he got to do with this?
Well, sir, David and his band of men have been hiding in the wilderness near where we graze the sheep. If any of them found a stray, they would return it to the flock. And they protected us from marauders and bandits, like the Amalekites.
You mean to say you fellows haven't improved a bit? I ought to fire the whole lot of you.
Excuse me, sir, but a group of men wish to see you.
Where are they from?
Well, they didn't say, sir. There are 10 of them. Should I have them come in?
Yes, I guess.
Excuse me,
you
sir.
You stay right where you are. I'm not through with you yet.
Yes, sir.
Master Nabal will see you now.
We bring you greetings from David, the son of Jesse. Peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have.
What do you want?
I hear that you have shearers. It is a time of hospitality. Now, your shepherds have been with us, and we did them no harm, and they missed nothing all the time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they'll tell you.
Yes, go on.
Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Pray, give whatever you have at hand to your servants and to your son, David.
Who is this David, the son of Jesse? And how do I even know that you are part of his band?
They are, sir. I know them.
You keep out of this and don't say another word. There are many servants nowadays who are breaking away from their masters. This David that you claim is your leader, he is nothing more than an outlaw. Do you think for one minute that I should take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men like you? Not on your life. Now you go back and tell David, if indeed he is your leader, that I don't need his help and that I don't have any intention of paying him anything. Now get out.
Sir, may I point out that you are many hundred sheep richer because of David?
I told you to keep still. You're too young to understand things like this. Perhaps I do owe him something, but he can't collect a thing from me. The courts are all under the control of King Saul, and there's no way he can legally press his claim against me, so why should I bother with him?
Yes, sir.
So David's young men turned away and came back and told him all that had happened and all that Nabal had said. And when David heard this, he said unto his men,
every man gird on his sword. Surely in vain have I guarded all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him, and he's returned me evil for good. God do so to me, and more also, if by morning I leave so much as one male alive of all who belong to Nabal.
The hasty decision to seek personal revenge was a serious blunder, and was more like the character of Saul than that of David. The son of Jesse had yet to learn lessons of patience in the school of affliction.
There's a young man outside to see you, mistress.
A young man?
Yes, mistress.
Well, who is he?
I do not know his name, mistress, but he is one of the master's servants.
Well, what does he want with me?
Something of importance, mistress. A matter of life and death, I believe he said.
Well, he'd better see Mabel, not me.
No, mistress. He wishes to see you. Something about Master Nabal, I think.
Well, show him in. We'll see what he wants.
Yes, mistress.
You may arise. Now, who are you?
I am one of Master Nabal's servants.
What do you want of me?
I am come to speak to my mistress about David and...
David? Who is he?
He will be the next king of Israel, mistress.
Next king? Oh, you mean that David. The one King Saul hates and hunts like wild game.
Yes, mistress.
Well?
Well, David and his men have been staying near where I tend Master Nabal's sheep. Now, David and his men were very good and kind to us. They did us no hurt, neither did they take anything from us.
I don't quite understand.
Mistress, it's quite hard for a lady to understand such things. But out there in the wilderness, it's every man for himself. Thieves and robbers and marauders are everywhere. Even the Amalekites made raids upon us. But David and his men helped us protect the sheep and supplies. They were a wall to us day and night.
Why do you come to me with this? I'm sure your Master Nabal would be interested and thankful for such kindness and help that this David and his men accorded you. You'll find Nabal, I think, in the accounting room.
That's just it, mistress. David, who was sorely in need of food, sent messengers to Master Nabal to salute him and ask for the ordinary and accepted pay in the form of supplies for the help he had given us out there in the wilderness.
That sounds fair enough.
It is, mistress, but the master didn't think so.
What?
He railed at the messengers and sent them back to David empty-handed and with insults.
Why?
And I'm sure that David will revenge his insults. Now, therefore, know this and consider what you should do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his house. For he is so ill-natured that one cannot speak to him.
Oh, I knew something like this would happen. Nabal so miserly and greedy.
In my humble opinion, mistress, you and only you can stop David.
Yes, you're right. And we must stop him before he gets here. Go ask the baker to come here to me. And also the chief caretaker and the butler. And, yes, the stable boy, too.
Yes, mistress.
Baker, prepare me 100 loaves of bread.
100 loaves of bread?
No, 200.
200, yes.
Immediately.
Yes, yes,
and, Butler, I want you to get me 2 skins of wine.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Oh, about a bushel of parched corn, plus,
yes.
Well, at least 5 sheep, dressed and ready for the cooking fire.
Yes, mistress.
Hurry now.
Yes.
Caretaker.
Yes, mistress.
You're to go to the storage cellar and get 100 or so clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs.
Yes, mistress.
And put them into some sort of container that can readily be carried on the backs of donkeys.
Yes.
Now get going, all of you.
Yes, mistress.
And you, stable boy, are there enough donkeys here to carry all the things I've mentioned?
Yes, mistress.
Well, harness them and get them ready for an immediate journey. And all of you, I'm in a hurry for these things, but I command you... Keep these things a secret from your master.
Yes,
he's to know nothing about it. Now hurry, all of you. Wait, not you.
Yes, mistress.
You heard the things I ordered. We shall take them to David and meet him before he can get here.
An excellent idea, mistress.
I'm placing you in charge. You take the things and the donkeys and start out. And I'll follow as soon as I can get away, undetected by the master. And be sure the master does not see you leave or he'll stop you and... Well, David will surely avenge himself upon the master and myself and all that we have.
And Abigail made haste and sent the young men with the provisions on before her. But she did not tell her husband. And as she rode on the donkey and came down under cover of the mountain, behold, David and his men came down toward her. And when Abigail saw that it was David, she made haste and alighted from the donkey and bowed herself to the ground. And she said to David,
"Oh, my lord David, pray let your handmaid speak."
"Arise, I will listen. Now, what is it you wish, my lady?"
"Upon me, my lord, alone be the guilt. Upon me let this iniquity be."
"Well, what guilt? What iniquity?"
"Let not my lord regard this ill-natured fellow."
"Well, what fellow?"
"His name is Nabal, my lord."
"Ah, you're speaking about him."
"As his name is, my lord, so is the man. Nabal is his name. folly is his nature.
I readily agree with you, madam. But what has all this got to do with you? What interest do you have in this foolish Nabal?
He is my husband, my lord. But I did not know about the young men coming to see my husband about supplies. Had I been aware of their coming, their request would have been granted.
Well, I'm sure it would have.
Now, my lord, as the Lord God of Israel lives and your soul lives, it is my earnest desire to prevent my lord from shedding innocent blood and from avenging himself with his own hands.
You plead your case very well, madam.
If you will but refrain from avenging yourself upon the greedy Nabal, then let your enemies and they that seek to do you evil be as Nabal, hated and completely alone and helpless.
Not avenge myself upon Nabal after what he did to me? Why should I even consider such a request? Even though the request does come from the lips of a beautiful and most certainly sincere lady.
All Israel knows that the Lord of Israel will make you a sure house, and you will fight the battles of the Lord God of Abraham, because evil has never been found in you all of your days. But if you do this thing against Nabal, then shall my lord David be guilty of wrongdoing.
Yes, you may be right.
Now, my lord, your handmaiden has brought bread and wine, raisins and figs, and parched corn and ready-dressed sheep. Oh, I beg of you, my lord, accept these gifts and let them be given to the young men who came to my husband Nabal. Oh, you will accept them and forgive the greedy Nabal?
Well, perhaps.
If you will not do this evil thing against Nabal, then shall the Lord bring you to the throne of Israel. The God of Israel shall deal kindly with you. And, sir, when the Lord has dealt well with my lord David, then remember your handmaid.
As David listened to the words of Abigail, seasoned with grace and full of kindness, his angry passion died away. He was convinced that he had taken an unwise course. Better impulses came to him, and he trembled as he thought what might be the consequences of his rash purpose.
Your counsel, madam, is good and sound. I was about to shed innocent blood. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel who has sent you this day to me. Blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from avenging myself with my own hand. Oh, surely by morning, had you not come to me beforehand, there would not have been left a single male of all the household of Nabal.
So David received from Abigail the things that she had brought upon the donkeys.
Joab.
Yes, Joab, unload the donkeys and distribute the things among our men.
Yes, sir.
And as for you, madam, return in peace to your own house, for I have hearkened to your voice and I have accepted your offerings of peace.
Oh, thank you, David, son of Jesse, and future king of Israel. Shall we go now?
Yes, mistress.
Farewell, and blessings upon you.
Farewell, David, sir. Whoa there, whoa. Take care of him for me, stable boy.
Yes, mistress.
Where's the master?
Master Nabal, having great feast and celebration, mistress. Good feast. Like that of a king. All get drunk. Have a good time.
Thank you. Take care of my mount. Now.
Yes, mistress. Get up!
The greatest feast I ever gave, wouldn't you say so?
Indeed it is, sir. It's the best feast anyone ever gave. It's a feast fit for a king.
Fit for a king? Yeah, by the way, where is Abigail?
Yeah, who cares? You know she doesn't approve of these feasts anyway.
That's who cares. She's my wife, and she should attend my feasts. I'll have to talk with her.
Good morning, mistress.
Good morning.
Master Nabal requests you to come to his apartment.
Is he still drunk?
I don't think so, mistress. He seems to be quite sober. He asked for you.
All right. Tell him I'll be there shortly. What do you want, Nabal?
Don't talk so loud. Oh, my head.
No wonder the way you drank last night.
What happened? Why weren't you there?
What happened? You just had the wildest party you've ever had, and you...
I know that, but where were you?
I took some provisions to David, and it's a good thing I did. He was on his way here with 400 of his men, and he was exceedingly angry.
Angry? At whom?
At you. Who else?
Angry at me? I haven't done anything to him. I'm a peace-loving man.
You're a very selfish and greedy man.
Mean? Selfish? Greedy? Me?
I don't think you realize just how fortunate you are to even be alive this morning, Mabel.
What do you mean?
Well, he was on his way here, he and his men, to kill you.
Kill me? What for?
Because you refused to give him and his men their just dues, that's why.
You mean about the sheep?
Yes. It's the custom, and it's also your duty to pay them for protecting your sheep and goats and shepherds from harm. You very well know that you were obligated to grant his request.
He may still come here and kill me?
Mabel! Run, get a physician for your master, quickly.
Yes, mistress.
About 10 days later, Nabal died, and David said,
"Blessed be the Lord, who has avenged the insult I received at the hands of Nabal, and has kept back his servant from evil. The Lord has returned the evil doing of Nabal upon his own head."